Good morning. You're listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
Good morning. This is Debbie Verney.
And good morning. This is J. Marie Schaefer.
And we're two of the partners at the Herzog Law Firm. We're going to be here for the next hour to talk to you about estate planning, estate administration, Medicaid planning. We'd love for you to be our first caller. The phone number here is 518-476-5900. That's 518-476-5900 or 1-800-WROW-590. Good morning, Jamery.
Good morning.
It's a bright and not so sunny Saturday morning, but it's really nice and warm out.
I know. I hope it gets sunny. We have an outdoor wedding to go to this afternoon.
A what?
I know, an outdoor wedding in April.
Oh, an outdoor wedding.
Outdoor wedding.
I thought
wedding.
You said an elder wedding, and I'm like, what is an elder wedding?
No, I said outdoors. So I want the rain to stop and the warm weather to continue.
Yes, definitely. It would be nice.
Yes.
We just came off of a bunch of seminars this week, and they were on our basic estate planning, and it was kind of interesting because it seems like people don't know about just basic estate planning.
That's right. No, there were a lot of questions about that. You know, just teaching people the basics is really great to know. Whether you should have a healthcare proxy and the power of attorney and a will. And lots of people don't have those basic documents.
No, they don't. And this is what?
So on Tuesday, it's National Healthcare Decision-Making Day. So want to remind everyone of that. And that's a day to bring awareness to people to do their healthcare proxies. And the studies show that only about a third of adults in the United States have any form of a written healthcare directive.
And you really need one of those.
And you really do need to have one of those. Without that, you can't have someone make decisions for you or talk to your doctor or get information if you're incapacitated or even just temporarily, right, in a hospital and have an
accident.
Right.
So it's definitely something that you should look into and make sure that you have all your documents in place. There was a lot of talk at my presentation about a MOLST form. That's MOLST. So people are like, a what?
Right. And that's a medical order for life-sustaining treatment. And that's become more popular, I think, over the years because it's more detailed than a healthcare proxy. You can put lots of specific information in there about what treatments you would want. And you go over it with your doctor.
Right. They have to sign it. I had a person that came in this week and she had, you know, just a copy of one. And I'm like, yeah. Your doctor has to sign it. You're supposed to meet with your doctor. You and the doctor go over. I said, it's bright pink. She's like, no, it's white.
That was
a bright
pink form.
I was like, yeah, the copy may be white, but the form itself is a bright pink form. And the reason people do that is so that you can find it.
Right, so it stands out. Right. And that's a form you go over with your doctor, not your lawyer.
Right. Is there a certain age that you think people should do it? Or is it based more on medical condition?
I think it's based on when you have a more serious medical condition. You know? Yeah. Although I was going to say 50.
I think that's a little young.
That's a little young. Yeah, that's a number that's on my mind this year.
Actually, that should have been on your mind last year. But anyway, we won't digress onto that. But the MOLST form, what I tried to explain to people is it has teeth. Basically, you have your healthcare proxy and your living will, and that's telling them who you want to be in charge and what you want done. But the living will itself doesn't have teeth, meaning if you said, I don't want to be on a ventilator, I don't want to be on a feeding tube, and the doctor came out and said, you know, they're not coming back, and they said, well, I know she's coming back. She's coming back from worse than this. Give her the feeding tube, and then the doctor would do that. The MOLST form, my friend had brain cancer. And she didn't want to be resuscitated. And so she did the MOLST form. And again, bright pink form, had it hanging on the refrigerator so that if something happened to her and somebody called the paramedics, that they wouldn't resuscitate her.
Right. And that's also signed by the doctor, too.
Exactly.
So it's, you know, like you said, it's more powerful because it's saying the doctor's agreeing to the orders that you want.
And a DNR. You can have like DNR in there.
You can have a DNR. But it's I've seen in there you can have... whether you want pain medicine or whether you want antibiotics or, you know, very specific treatments you would want.
It does. We'd love for you guys to give us a call. Our phone number here is 518-476-5900. That's 518-476-5900. Or toll free is the 1-800-WROW-590. So anything new, any exciting stories from clients this week?
Oh, there's always exciting stories from clients. The one thing that came up, and this does happen frequently in these states that we see, a parent will add a child to a bank account, not with the intention of giving them the money, just so they can pay their bills.
Right.
And that's called a convenience account. And the law on that is that's really still the parents' money, and it goes back into the parents' estate. You can also set up a convenience account with other non-family members. So we had a case where a woman had set up a convenience account with her neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
And then she passed away, and the sons came in to meet with us, and we said, you know, there's a convenience account, and we were talking about it, and we figured that maybe there's a few $100 in there, or maybe a few thousand, and we weren't too concerned about it. Well, apparently, they called us later on and found out there was a couple $100,000 in that account.
That was convenient.
That was very convenient. You're a comedian. That's funny.
I like it, yes.
So now the argument is going to be, did she really intend to give that money to the neighbor? Probably not.
Probably not, no.
Was she just on there so she could pay bills, but it really was going to go into her estate and go to her sons? So there's going to be a battle over that coming up soon.
It's going to be interesting, definitely. Mm-hmm. You know, the neighbor could be, I was here, I took care of her, her right. kids were never around.
That's right, I deserve the money.
I deserve the money, yeah. Mm-hmm. I can see that happening. Right. It's funny, yesterday, well, funny, mm-hmm. Jay Marie had a bunch of people in the conference room, like mm-hmm. bunches and bunches of people in the conference room. And my office is right across from Stacy's,
mm-hmm.
who Stacy's our scheduling coordinator.
Right.
And after Jay Marie met with these people, all of a sudden there's like a line outside of Stacy's office. And I'm like looking out going, I don't want to. And then I overhear them. They're like, all want to make appointments with Jay Marie to come in and do their estate planning documents. So mm-hmm. I don't know what she did to scare them. But, you know, I think it was an issue with an estate or something like yeah. that. And they're like, I want to make sure that my documents are correct.
Yeah, actually, it was a meeting we had, and it was about an estate for their father. And there were many children. That's why there were that many people in there. And there was, to put it mildly, disagreement
mm-hmm.
among the remaining children. In fact, some of the siblings just walked out of that meeting. So
nice.
So the remaining one said, oh, I'm getting my stuff in order.
Yeah, but it was funny because all of a sudden I'm looking out and I have people standing outside my office and I'm like, this is odd.
But it's not usually a line to make appointments.
There's usually not a line to make appointments, but they're like, we want to see Jay Marie. And I was like, well, that's good, you know?
Yeah, that's good. They're like, we have to take care of this now.
Well, you know, and don't wait to have something like this happen before you do your estate planning documents.
Oh, yeah. Don't wait for a crisis like this.
Don't wait for a crisis because those aren't the kind of decisions that you want to make. You want to have your time to make the decisions and move everything along and then tweak them.
That's
you know,
right.
We tell people, you know, come in, get your basic documents done. Mm-hmm. Look at them every 5 years if you need to. Mm-hmm. We actually have client seminars every year. Usually in June. I think they're set up for June. And what we do is we invite our clients to come in and we usually cover new topics or we kind of go over basic stuff because a lot of times, and I hate to say this, we have clients come in, we execute their trust, we put their house in their trust, we hand them the folder, and I usually say, okay, over here is this booklet, everything you ever wanted to know about your trust but were afraid to ask.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Go home, read it, and people take it, they put it in their safety deposit box, and it never sees the light of day. Mm-hmm. And so they've got additional assets that are out there that could go into the trust that aren't in there.
That's right. So it's good to come back to kind of get a refresher and remember why you did the trust and then think about, oh, I should add more assets, you know. So very good to do that because that's really common.
It is. It's very common. And we've had kind of like Jay Marie's little issues with her clients yesterday. Mm-hmm. I've actually had issues with clients that, you know, they're still alive and their kids are already fighting.
Yes.
So if they're fighting while you're alive, they're not going to get along any better after you're gone.
No, that's
so
true.
You know, and I just think it's awful that some of the kids, you know, guilt their parents into doing stuff. And the parents are just like, they just want to have peace and they yes. just want to live their lives. Mm-hmm. And you've got the kids going, well, you did this and you did this. And, mm-hmm. you know, you love me more and you love mm-hmm. this other person more. And you gave them $5,000 more than me. And that's just not fair. It's like, mm-hmm. seriously?
Right. And I see the kids fighting over the money, and sometimes I'll say, it's not your money yet, you know?
No, it's not.
It's still mom and dad's money, even if it's in the trust.
So exactly.
You can't assume that it's yours and fight over it. Please have the decency to wait, you know?
Exactly. At least wait until they're gone, and then they won't know that you're fighting.
Right. And so, we have a call. We have Jack in Glenmont.
Good morning, Jack.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good, thanks. I have a trust made up by your office.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the other papers that I need. Just recently confirmed that I have a TOD for my investments.
Okay.
Is there anything else I need to do so my kids can avoid probate?
So the investment account's not in your trust?
That's correct.
Okay. Because I've had that before where people have set up the trust, they put their account into the trust, and then they make it TOD, and then the trust isn't going to control it. So as long as you've got your assets, as long as they have beneficiaries or they're joint, not convenience accounts, as long as they're joint, have beneficiaries, or in their trust, then there shouldn't be any issues with your kids with probate.
Okay, great.
But, you know, make sure that everything is joint or in the trust or has a beneficiary and they're up-to-date beneficiaries. I had a person come in this week that was doing her planning. And I had the broker send over all the statements, and her husband, who's been gone 4 years, was still her beneficiary on one of her IRAs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, you know, just kind of follow up and just make sure that they have the paperwork. It doesn't take that long to call your life insurance company and say, you know, send me a letter that says, you know, how much my policy's worth and who the beneficiaries are, and same thing with the IRAs and stuff, just to make sure everybody's on the same page.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great.
Thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bye. Okay. Bye-bye. I have a gentleman that's coming in on Monday that called me. His mother worked for a company, and it was bought out by another company, and they were in the process of rolling the retirement accounts from the old company to the new company, and she passed away. Mm-hmm. And they said there's no beneficiaries, right? Because it was in mid-transfer.
Paperwork hadn't really been processed yet.
Right.
Oh, that's pretty unfortunate, because now you have to do a probate proceeding, right?
Right. So instead of having it go to the kids, mm-hmm. there's three kids, instead of having it go to the kids and where they could stretch it over their life expectancies, now mm-hmm. it's going to go to the estate.
Right.
They're going to have to cash it in. They're going to have to pay all that tax
mm-hmm.
and then divvy up whatever's left.
Right. That is unfortunate. At least, I mean, they were kind of in the middle of changing it. A lot of people just don't check it for years and years. And, I mean, we'll see clients that bought the policy when they were young, and they had their parents named as the beneficiary.
Right.
And now they're married, and they have grandkids, you know. So.
Well, and the thing, too, is, and I've seen this, is you leave money to your parent,
mm-hmm.
right? And then thinking that, obviously, your parent's going to pass away before you, and then mm-hmm. they pass away, and they have their parent as a beneficiary, and their parent's in a nursing home.
Mm-hmm.
So then
the money.
The parent inherits this money, kicks them off Medicaid.
Right.
Then they have to spend down the money and reapply. So you really need to make sure that your beneficiary designations are kind of up to snuff. And we'd love for you to give us a call at 518-476-5900. That's 518-476-5900 or 1-800-WROW-590 if you're out of the area.
Right, so that's something to do a checkup on. I mean, we make you check up on that when you come in to meet with us, but as we say, review your estate plan every 5 years or so. That's a good time to double check all those beneficiaries. You know, if you change jobs and you have new life insurance and retirement plans at your new job, make sure you have the beneficiaries named.
Another thing with beneficiaries, it's funny because this week has been like, oh yeah, people really need to think about that. So what do you think about making the grandkids the beneficiary on your IRA?
It's good because it can stretch it out over their lifetime, and it can save, I mean, it can grow tax deferred, so it's a really good vehicle to do it.
If they're over 18.
If they're over 18, yes. Right.
So what if they're not over 18?
You wouldn't really want a five-year-old to have an IRA, right?
Yeah, they're not so good with money. And then they have to appoint a guardian.
That's right.
The courts have to appoint a guardian. If you leave someone that's underage, an mm-hmm. IRA, and they end up inheriting it, even if they have parents.
Right. The court requires you to appoint a property guardian. Let me get that out.
There you go. You got it.
So it's an extra step, and then the court's kind of going to oversee that till that child turns 18.
And then they're going to get it out right at 18.
Yes, that's right.
And 18-year-olds.
As we often say, you don't want an 18-year-old getting money. My son would buy, a Maserati this week. I don't know.
A Maserati, yes.
Lamborghini. I don't know, one of those. Well, I don't have that much money in my IRA, by the way, but he would try to buy that. So
he would try to buy that. If not, he would buy more video games.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely, yes. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. So you need to really think about things like that. And even young couples get married, they have kids. I had a couple of young couples mm-hmm. in this week, and they want to make sure that if something happened to both of them, one of them is going away on their anniversary, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so they want to make sure that the kids were taken care of if something happened to them. And I said, well, you don't want to make the kids the contingent beneficiary. You want to make mm-hmm. the trust established under your will,
right,
the beneficiary, so that it could be funded with your life insurance and your IRAs and everything like that if something happened to you, because if not, these kids are going to get this money outright at 18, mm-hmm. which is not a good thing.
Right. I mean, I saw that happen where, you know, if you don't coordinate your will with your beneficiaries, where this gentleman died, his will had these wonderful trusts set up for his kids.
Mm-hmm.
But his retirement plan gave it to them outright.
Yep.
So we had it, and one daughter was 17 when we did this.
Oh.
So we went to court. We got the guardian appointed for the younger child. By the time the money got distributed, the daughter was 18. She got her money outright. And she was supposed to spend that money on college, and the whole family was influencing her to do that, but there's mm-hmm. no guarantee that she was going to do that.
Now, back in the olden days, when I was in high school, I remember that there were a couple of people I was in school with. One was a year younger than me, and one was a year older than me. And whenever their mother passed while mm-hmm. we were in high school, parents were divorced. Mom had made them the beneficiaries of her life insurance. Mm-hmm. So the first thing they did was they both had brand spanking new Camaros.
Of course, right.
That's just what you need, right? They had the nicest cars in the parking lot for students, you know, but that's not necessarily probably what the mother wanted them to spend the money on.
No, probably not. So you can set up in this trust for your children, you can say specifically what you want them to have. So I had a couple in. And they had two daughters, and they had paid for the wedding for the first daughter, but the second daughter wasn't married yet. So in their trust, they said they wanted first money to go to the second daughter's wedding, and then everything else to be split equally.
So what if the second daughter didn't get married?
Well, I mean, we're still working on that. she's living with someone, so they presume she's going to get married to her, but I don't know. So.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
So we'd love for you guys to give us a call at 518-476-5900. That's 518-476-5900 or 1-800-WROW-590. Now, the seminars we had this month, which was April, I'm like, April's just tough.
It's almost over. Right.
Anyway, they were basic estate planning. So we went over trust, wills, healthcare proxies, powers of attorney. We do have seminars coming up in May, but the ones in May, it's interesting because the one in May in Kingston mm-hmm. is the same one we just did around here, which is the estate and Medicaid planning.
That's right.
But the ones in May in the Albany-Saratoga area, those are going to be on wills versus trusts, which I think is always a fun one.
That's right.
You know, because people are like, well, if I have a will, do I need a trust? If I have a trust, do I need a will?
It's complicated, and it's... people still don't get it right. It's hard to explain because I think if I have a will, I don't need probate, right? That's kind of the opposite. If you have a will, you're going to have probate. And if you have a trust, you won't have probate.
Right. I laugh when people call me. They're like, I went to the bank and the bank says I need letters testimony.
That's right.
It's like I took the will in. I showed them I'm executor and they said, right. No. You need letters testimony. I'm like, mm-hmm. testamentary.
That's right. Or I'll tell clients we have to... go to the court to get you approved as the executor. They're like, but I'm already the executor. It says
right.
So.
That's what the will says. The will says I'm executor.
Right.
Who's going to argue with that?
That's right.
Exactly. You know, it's one of those things where you have to look at those things. And if you're concerned about probate, then you should probably do a trust.
Yes, absolutely. There's many reasons to do that. It keeps it out of the public eye. Mm-hmm. It's private because you're... probate file is public. Anyone can go see it. And it's also much faster. because probate can take a while, especially if someone's, you know, not on board and they're contesting the will. It can take a long time. And with a trust, we had children in this week and their mom had died, and they're like, you mean I can use the money tomorrow? I'm like, yeah, you could use it tomorrow. You're the trustee.
Exactly.
You don't have to wait, right? And we have another caller. We have Dorothy in Waterville.
Good morning, yes. Dorothy.
A couple of weeks ago, you were talking about children, stepchildren, and leaving them money and adopted children. I was gone, and my nephew died, leaving a child who was adopted by the mother, husband. And we were told by a lawyer that she is entitled to his assets. And we don't know whether that is true or not.
So who was adopted?
My nephew's child. They were never married.
Okay.
But the mother of the child got married, and the husband adopted the child. My nephew died, and we were told by a lawyer that she is entitled to all of his assets.
So, the adoption
severs it.
Right. The adopted father now is the father of that child.
Okay, so she is not entitled to, it isn't much, it's just a share of some property.
And he didn't leave a will, I assume?
No, he died unexpectedly at 42.
It severs. Whenever you have an adoption, it severs that relationship.
Hello?
So your nephew, can you still hear me? I don't know, we may have lost her. Do we lose her?
I may have lost her.
So basically what happened, your nephew was the father of the child. But then whenever the mother of the child got married, assuming, and then her husband adopted the child, it severed that. Because he would have had to sign paperwork that said that he could adopt the child.
That's right.
So it severs that inheritance because theoretically it's not his child anymore.
Right, that's the adopted parent's child.
So without a will, New York State is going to look at him and they're going to say, okay, did you have a spouse? No. Did you have children? No. Mm-hmm. They're going to look for parents. So parents, it's going to go to parents if they have parents. If they don't have parents, brothers and sisters.
Right.
You know, so it's going to start going down the food chain, but it's not. No. Adoption severs.
That's right. But that does bring up a good point, because if you're doing it well, you can take care of that. So if you have stepchildren, for example, some people consider their stepchildren their own, and they're like, okay, I leave it all to my children. I'm like, well, no. And then we find out they're your stepkids, right? So you either can say kids include stepkids, or you could go back and you can name the kids individually. You have to make that clear in your will so that it goes to who you want it to go to.
Right. And a lot of times I'll have people put language in their will that says, for the purposes of this will, my husband's children shall be treated as my issue.
That's right.
Which means so everybody's going to be all included. But yeah, you've got to think about those things. Because if you don't, people could get cut out.
That's right.
You know, we always go back to the Brady Bunch syndrome. And of course, Dave and I argue back and forth about who adopted and who didn't and whatever. You know, because he says, well, obviously he adopted the girls because their last name was Brady. And I'm like, oh, Dave, don't go there. He never adopted them on the show. But anyway, so if Carol
didn't adopt the boys.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
So if Carol died and she left, let's just say he was dead. The husband was dead.
Okay.
And she died and left all the money to her issue. That's the three girls. It's not the boys.
Girls. That's right.
But if he had adopted the girls, which is still on the table.
Right.
Anyway, and if he had adopted the girls and he died and he left everything to his issue, that would be all six.
That's right.
Not the dog.
Or
not Tiger. Tiger's
or
out.
Alice.
Or Alice. Tiger and Alice are out.
I think they should leave something to Alice.
I know, Alice, she put up with a lot.
I mean, she did all the work, you know?
Definitely.
That's right. She raised those kids.
She did, definitely. You know, looking back, I'm thinking, they all shared one bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I know it's TV, but seriously, six kids, one bathroom?
Yeah. Well, back in the day, there weren't houses with five bathrooms. You know?
No, definitely.
There weren't. Everyone had to share one.
We digress. Anyway, so in May... The seminars in Albany/Saratoga is Wills versus Trust, and there's one Tuesday, May 14th at 2 in the afternoon. That's the Holiday Inn East Greenbush. There's Wednesday, May 15th at 6:30 in the evening at the Hampton Inn in Clifton Park. There's one Thursday, May 16th, same day. No.
No, it's Thursday.
But she's Thursday. Oh, mm-hmm. my gosh. Yeah. Need to get the eyes checked. Anyway, Thursday, May 16th at 10 in the morning at the Queensberry Hotel in Glens Falls. And Thursday, May 16th, that one's the same day.
That's
anyway,
that's
at 2 right. in the afternoon. And that's at the Courtyard by Marriott on Washington Ave in Albany. So if you wanted to sign up for any of those, you can start signing up now. You can go online to our website at www.herzoglaw.com. Or you can give Stacy in our office a call. And her phone number is 518-465-7581. And she's at extension 126. Again, the office number is 518-465-7581, extension 126. So,
and then don't forget the Kingston seminar that's right. coming up on May 8th at 2 o'clock, and that's the Holiday Inn Express in Kingston, and that one's going to be on estate and Medicaid planning. And we have a caller. We have Maureen from Niskayuna.
Maureen, hi. How are you doing?
Okay. I just wanted to clarify what you said about making everyone a beneficiary. That would be on, say, checking accounts or CDs or whatever. I have a trust, but those are not in it. How does Medicaid, it's a Medicaid trust, how does Medicaid view that then? Does the beneficiary collect things anyway if the nursing home issue comes up? Or can they lay claim to the ones, the accounts that are just beneficiaried, so to speak?
Well, if you see, it's different between dying and going to a nursing home. Dying's the easy thing. Going to the
yeah.
nursing home is what's difficult.
Okay. Point, yeah.
And so if you had to go into the nursing home, any of the assets that are outside the trust would be available to pay for your care, whether they have a beneficiary or not.
Yeah. So, but my, like, everyday checking account, I really don't want that in the trust, but...
No, and if it's an irrevocable trust, it shouldn't be. You really need to make sure that you leave your walking around money outside of the trust. And what would happen, are you married or single?
I'm widowed.
Okay. So being widowed, if you had to go into a nursing home, the most you can keep in walking around money, basically, is $15,450.
Yeah.
But, you know, we would be able to save about half of what's outside of your trust if you had to go into a nursing home.
Yeah, I've heard that. I listen to you every Saturday.
Oh, good.
Some days make me depressed. Some days are, okay, I've done that. All right, I'm spending my walking around money, so I guess I won't have to worry about
it. There you go. Spend your money. That's the key thing, right? Spend your money.
That's the key. I feel bad about it. One other quick one. I know you've got to go to break. I have six grandchildren, and they're not mentioned in either the will or the... Well, they're mentioned in the trust for stirpees, is that the word? But not specifically on my death to receive money. I'm trusting my three children would go ahead and share.
Mm-hmm.
But do I have to name each one of them a certain amount or anything like that? Or not have to, but is it advisable to?
Well, if it's going to go to your kids, then it's kind of their responsibility to get it down to the grandkids.
It would be, yes.
Usually if it says issue for stirpees, that means if your child passes away before you do, their share is going to drop
right.
straight down to their kids. So
right.
the grandkids, so, those grandkids would get the money.
Okay, but I just have to depend on my kids to share and share alike or whatever.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yes, you did.
Okay. Yeah, I kind of figured that out. Mm-hmm. All right, thank you.
Have a great weekend.
You too, bye.
Okay. All right, thank you. And we'll be back after this with the second half of the Herzog Law Firm show.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, West Harrison Street in Saratoga Springs, and Flatbush Road in Kingston, our attorneys are here to help you. If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jane Marie, Harry, or Debbie, please call us during normal business hours, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact us at our Albany office, call 518-465-7581. Our Saratoga Springs office at 518-581-8131. Or our Kingston office at 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help you navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
Good morning. We're back for the second half hour. I'm Debbie Verney.
And I'm Jane Marie Schaefer.
And we're two of the partners at the Herzog Law Firm. We're going to be here for the next half hour to answer your questions on estate planning, Medicaid planning, state administration, nursing home planning, all kind of fun stuff. That's we try funny. Not to be depressing now that she said the first half hour. Sometimes she listens, she's depressed. Sometimes she's not. Give us a call. The phone number here is 518-476-5900. That's 518-476-5900. Or out of the area, toll free at 1-800-WROW-590. That was an excellent question right before we went to the break.
Yeah, that was a very good question. And, you know, if you do want money to go to your grandchildren, you kind of have two choices. You can either leave it to your kids and then hope that your kids give it to your grandchildren. Or you really could go back and leave some specific money to your grandkids. And sometimes people decide to do that. You know, a good way to do it is maybe name them a beneficiary on something.
If they're old enough.
If they're old enough, that's right. And that's what we talked about in the beginning, right? If they're over 18.
But you could do a carve out. You know, so I have a lot of clients that'll say, okay, my residuary estate, I want to leave $5,000 to each of my grandkids. So then that's generic, right? So that's if your kids have more kids, then it's going to cover all the grandkids.
Right.
And then the remainder to my kids. And then we have what's called a contingency trust for the grandkids. Mm-hmm. So it says, hey, if any of my grandkids are under 25 years old and they inherit money, put it in trust for them so that they don't go blow it.
Right. And then the parent can control it until they become 25.
Right. So then they have some money for paying student loans or, you know, depending on how much it is. And then it does give the ability in that trust for the grandkids. It does say that, that it's strictly up to the trustee, but they could get it before they're 25.
Right. If the parent says, oh, okay, you graduated college, you seem very responsible, you know, I'm going to give you some of the money that grandma left you, right?
Yeah, or if you're, you know, you need some money for tuition, or if, you know, hopefully not that if you need a Lamborghini, you know.
That's right. Or if you can't get in college, you need to bribe someone.
Nice, Jamie. Nice. Nice.
I don't have any money to bribe someone, so my son is taking the ACT exam today. So send him a little wish of luck today.
Wish of luck.
That's right. He doesn't do well on his ACT exam. I don't know what we're doing.
Okay, give us a call at 518-476-5900. That's 518-476-5900. Or toll free 1-800-WROW-590. And yes, college expenses are huge.
Oh, yeah, they are. That's right.
Yeah, I'm done with that.
You're done with that. I have one in and one going. So,
you know, it's something you got to think about. And that's another question I get a lot of times is what about 529 plans? And if you go into a nursing home, that 529 plan is still your money.
I know. That's so unfortunate that you put that money aside for your grandchild and you've contributed to it over the years. And now, just when that kid's about to go to college, right?
You have to go to the nursing home.
You have to go to the nursing home and they count all that money as yours. So,
and kind of twofold, avoiding probate, right? Make sure that you have an alternate owner on your 529.
That's right.
Because if you don't, it's an individual asset. We have to probate your will to collect the 529 plan. So you need to make sure that you have an alternate owner.
Right. So you could put your child, the parent of your grandchild, as the alternate owner. Or sometimes people say, you know, if we're planning ahead, I'd say, well, make your child the owner of the account now. So now you get it out of your name. And now if you had to go in the nursing home, it wouldn't count as your money.
But then the flip side of that, we play devil's advocate here, is then if it's in the child, the parent's name. The parent's name and they apply for financial aid, then that's considered money that could pay for the kid's school.
Right.
So it's like a double-edged sword. There's just like no way to get around it.
Yeah, there's kind of no good answer there, right? Although it's better in the parent's name than the grandchild's name because the FAFSA formula, which I'm familiar with.
You're totally familiar with that, yes.
They count the parent's money. Well, you don't have to spend as much of the parent's money as the child's money, if that makes sense. Right?
It makes sense. Mm-hmm. It totally makes sense.
Right.
Yeah, I'm done with that, too. That was awful, filling out that every year and trying to figure everything out.
Yes, it's torture for the parents.
It is. So, again, you could be our first caller this half hour at 518-476-5900 or toll-free 1-800-WROW-590. And my opinion is that you should spend everything that you have, and then you don't have to worry about your kids fighting over it whenever you pass away.
I agree. We talk about the trust and what to put in it and what to keep out. Like, keep out money, spend it. It's your money, right?
Exactly. Spend your money.
Have fun with it.
I definitely have fun with your money because, you know, it's one of those things where it's nice that everybody wants to leave something mm-hmm. for their children. And the irrevocable trust isn't necessarily to protect it mm-hmm. for your children. It's to protect it for your spouse.
That's right. So you can go in the nursing home and then your spouse can still have assets to live on. Right.
Right. They can sell the house if they have to. And then they still have some cash that's in the account. You know, so it's not just I'm doing an irrevocable trust to preserve this money for my children. You're preserving it for a spouse
right,
or
so
someone
they can
else.
Live comfortably. That's right. And actually, if you have your house in a trust and that's going to your kids, that's a good legacy, right?
Yeah.
And if you have some other cash and you spend it, that's fine. That's your money to spend. You don't have
exactly.
to preserve every dollar for your kids, right? And so that's why we tell clients to really look at kind of your spending habits and how much money you have and how much money you expect to spend in retirement to see if you do want to fund the trust with some investments.
Well, you can always get money out too, though. Mm-hmm. I always explain to people that, you know, the trust is kind of like a piggy bank. It's easy to put stuff in the top of the piggy bank, but we have to jump through some hoops to get it out of the bottom of the piggy bank. And we'll go into that after we have caller.
We have Sue from Boston Spa.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm looking at my green folder, which I opened with you, revocable trust. And I'm looking at the big red copy at the top.
Okay.
And with the agreement. And what is the process? When I pass, for the people that my children, what do they need to do? Immediately get in touch with you, or what?
Yeah, so we of course would recommend your children get in touch with us, and they'll come in and we'll meet with them. And we're kind of going to go through all your assets. We're going to see, oh, do you have things that are in the trust? And then we'll tell your children how the trustee can distribute the assets in the trust. And then we're going to look at other assets you have. If you have beneficiaries on them, life insurance, retirement plans, then the children can just claim those as a beneficiary. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to look at all your bank accounts and see if you put a beneficiary on it or if you didn't, then we may have to do a probate for some of those assets.
Hello?
Can you hear us?
Yeah, now I do.
Okay.
That's weird, huh? Mm-hmm. I think our phones keep cutting out. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, generally, whenever someone has a trust, like a revocable mm-hmm. trust, and everything's either in the trust or it has beneficiaries, usually, you know, the kids call and they say, you know, mom or dad passed away. And we're like, you know, fine, after the dust settles, you can come in and we'll go over everything. And when we go over everything, we're like, okay, the trust terminates, mm-hmm. you know, make the distributions. And if your beneficiary's on the other accounts, go to the bank and collect them.
Mm-hmm. So basically, they would call your mm-hmm. main office.
Yes. Right. They would just give a call to the Albany office. Mm-hmm. Usually, Stacy's the one that takes the calls. And then Stacy puts time on one of the attorney's calendars to meet with the family. I've had families that I've met with, you know, right after the funeral because mm-hmm. a lot of people were in from out of town. Yeah, and we usually try to accommodate people like that. But we kind of go over everything. And then, you know, with the trust, generally, it's fairly seamless. It's just like, okay, go distribute the money. Go sell the house. Go do whatever you got.
I have one other question. I have a healthcare proxy on a little card.
Right.
And then I have this written one that was put into place. The one on the card is registered with a primary doctor. Mm-hmm. Do I need to take this new copy? Is the old one not valid or what?
Well, healthcare proxies don't revoke each other, kind of like a will does or a power of attorney. What I generally tell my people to do is whenever they get a new healthcare proxy, next time you go to the doctor, whether it's your cardiologist or your general practitioner, just have them scan it into your file so it's there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right. A lot of the hospitals and doctors are all kind of going online now and putting everything up mm-hmm. in the cloud.
Right.
And so theoretically, you know, in the future, someone would be rushed to the emergency room. They'd be able to pull down all of their information from the cloud.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm in a cloud, but it's not. one I should be in. Okay, thank you very much.
That's You're great. Welcome. Thank have you. A great weekend.
That's great.
And it looks like we have another caller.
We do, and we have Maria from Albany.
Good morning, Maria.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Great. I went to Jane Marie's seminar this week, and it was great.
Thank you.
Really enjoyed it. I'm a little different. I don't have children. I'm unmarried. Mm-hmm. So I got some information that I didn't know about things to do for myself. So that was helpful. But what I commented on at the seminar, and I really would find helpful, I'm afraid to go to a funeral home to talk about my final arrangements. I don't know what they're going to ask me. I don't know if I have to pay them ahead of time. And the same with the cemetery. I will go to pre-plan, but I just thought it would be helpful if you would bring on the show maybe a funeral director and also somebody from a cemetery or Albany Diocesan cemeteries or somewhere so that once someone has to take care of my estate, I can tell them ahead of time what to do and where to go. Because what you provide is really good on the legal side, but what when I go, somebody has to step in and it won't be kids. So I just think that would be helpful.
That's a great suggestion. You know, we really don't cover that in our seminars. Mm-hmm. And it's something that you don't think about because if you haven't pre-planned your funeral and then they pass away, it's not a good time. That's not the time you want your kids to be, you know, they're in mourning and they don't want to be, well, you said you don't have any kids. So, you know, you're going to have to figure out who's going to be in charge. Do you know who's going to be in charge?
Not yet.
Working
on it. Jane Marie has me working on it.
That's right.
So,
yeah,
but
it's just a little bit different. And I also was thinking my heart went out to that aunt who called and said her nephew passed away unexpectedly.
Right.
Because once again, if there are people, now perhaps, I don't know how young he was, but especially like with the opioid addiction deaths, I hate to say that, but there are our number of people who are dying unexpectedly now, and there's no pre-planning done at all for these poor, mostly, you know, young adults. And again, that's going to throw the families into a crisis. What do I do now? So I just think it would be helpful to take it. What you provide is excellent, but if you take it one step further to complete the cycle, I think that would be helpful.
Yeah, sure. That's a great idea because a lot of people, if you haven't done it, you don't know what going to a funeral home and planning involves. And then if you're asking someone, not a family member, to do it, it's hard to make sure they're going to do what you want. So I guess talking about the process ahead of time so you know what to expect would help everyone out.
Right. Definitely.
Well, thank you for your show. I love it. And that seminar was great.
Thank you.
We're glad you enjoyed it. The only thing that came to mind with her question was the DORA, the disposition of remains. Form.
That's right. I'm losing my voice. Sorry.
That's it. You're losing your voice. So the DORA.
I'll let you go.
Is a. Thank you. Anyway, so the disposition of remains form is actually a form you can go on the Bar Association website, the New York State Bar Association, and you can download it. Mm-hmm. And it basically says who you want to be in charge of your body when you die. Mm-hmm. Sounds really sad, but.
Right.
It's very specific, and it says, this is the person I want, and then on that list, you can say, I have prearranged my funeral at X funeral home, or you can say, I want to be cremated. You can put specifics in. I always joke and say, I want to be wheeled down the aisle of the church with trumpets blaring and yellow roses, you know.
Right.
So you can be as specific as you want to, but that person would be the person in charge of your body. And people don't think about those things, but in my seminar, I had a lot of people that were in second marriages. Mm. It was interesting because they kind of like shyly came up afterwards and were talking to me about it. And it sounds silly, but if you've got, say, for instance, husband and wife, and husband dies, and I always pick on the husband.
Yeah, men die first.
Anyway, so the husband dies, and the widow says to the kids, you know, whatever happens in the future, I want to be buried next to dad, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
So fast forward, she gets remarried. I mean, she's got her plot. Let's just say the headstone's there and everything. It just doesn't have the date.
Right.
Fast forward, she gets into a relationship. She gets married again, right? And then she passes away. And the kids are like, hey, 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 mom wanted to be buried next to dad, right? And he's like, yeah, no, no, no. I'm the spouse now. I'm in charge.
And it's going to be out of plot for the two of us to go.
Exactly. Right. So if... She had Adora.
She could have said what she wanted.
Right? Exactly. She could have said, I wouldn't be buried next to my first husband.
Right.
I mean, who knows what she really wanted at that point in time.
Who knows, right.
But that's something you got to think about with second marriages, is you've got to have something in place. Or if you're in a relationship, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're in a relationship, you're not married, then your next of kin is going to be the one in charge of your body, not your...
Partner.
Right. Your significant other.
Right.
So you need to think about that. And the one I always scare people with is divorces. Okay. Even if you are legally separated, even if you have a document that says that you're almost divorced, right? Mm-hmm. If you're not divorced, your ex-spouse-to-be is in charge of your body.
Yes. You definitely don't want that.
And you definitely don't want that. Mm-hmm. I had this situation where we were representing mom. We were doing Medicaid working with the son. Son was legally separated. Son died. The ex-wife-to-be had him cremated and then had her attorney call us and ask how much mom wanted to pay for the ashes.
Oh, my goodness.
So, anyway, if you want to ever hear that story, you've got to come to one of the seminars.
That's right.
I'm going to finish it on the air because we have, looks like we have another caller.
We do, and we have Barb from Gilderland.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I have two questions. My mom is 92, and she has named my brother and I as beneficiaries of her life insurance policies, and she's also named me as a co-owner of her sole checking account. She doesn't have any other assets. So do we need to do anything else, in the event that she passes, do we need to do anything else? Will we be able to get those funds readily?
Yes. So on the life insurance policies, you can, as a beneficiary, you can claim that form easily. You don't have to go to court or anything. And same thing with the bank accounts, that would transfer to you directly.
Okay.
As long as, now I assume she doesn't own real estate.
No, when she went into assisted living, she sold her all of her assets and got rid of everything because she didn't want us to have to worry about it when she passed.
Well, that's very thoughtful of her.
That is very thoughtful.
It is, right.
So, yeah, you just need a death certificate to collect the life insurance. And then if you're joint on the bank account, we always tell people leave it open for a while, because if there was Social Security or pension or something that went into the account and it was paid in advance rather than arrears, they're going to suck it back out. So you need to leave the account open for a while. But as soon as the dust settles, you could close it out.
Okay, yeah, she does have her pension and Social Security going into that checking account.
Right. Yeah, so you would just leave it in joint name for a little while.
Okay. The other question I have is, my brother and I have a joint savings account that has the money from the sale of my mom's home in it. She had a right to life tenancy, and she got her portion, and as the owners of the home, we got ours, but we put it into a savings account for her in case she needed it. It's in our names.
Right.
But if one of us passes, we both have wills, but I don't know how, if one of us passed, where the money would be available. Would it go to the other owner of the account solely, or does it get passed down to, like, say, if my brother passed away, would I get it, or would it go to his family?
Because it's a joint account, the bank account, it goes to the survivor.
To the survivor.
So if your brother passed away, the money would go to you, not under his will.
Okay. Is it possible to put, like, a beneficiary on a savings account?
Generally not if it's joint.
Okay.
If it was individual, I mean, what you might want to do, I mean, if you're concerned about that, you could split the money. You could open up an account individually in your name and make your family the beneficiaries. He could open a savings account individually in his name and make his family the beneficiaries. So there wouldn't be an issue if, in fact, one of you passed before mom.
Okay. All right. If mom is still alive and one of us passes, even though that's our money technically, does she have any right to it then?
No.
I wasn't aware of that.
No, she doesn't. If her name's not on it, she doesn't have any right to it. And like you said, you sold the house she had a reserved life estate, I'm assuming. So whenever,
yes, she did.
So whenever you sold the house, you guys each got half after they carved off her life estate.
Exactly.
That's probably what went into her checking account. That's what she's kind of living off of and paying for assisted living with.
Yes.
So whenever she passes, the joint account's going to go to you. You guys take the death certificate in and collect the money from the life insurance and then, you know, split the savings account at that time. Or if you're concerned about one of you passing away here soon, then I would just split the savings account now and just put beneficiaries on it.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for calling. That was a good question.
Yeah, that is a good question. And, you know, so as we can see, many people can avoid probate by just doing some simple things, by putting beneficiaries, having joint accounts, using a trust. Although we do suggest everyone have a will, often you don't need the will to go to probate. But I always say you should have a will because we've seen many cases where there's assets that clients don't know about or they forgot about.
They forgot, yeah.
Yeah, they forgot they had it. And the will covers all those unexpected things.
Well, definitely, just like the one that I'm meeting with on Monday. Mm-hmm. His mom didn't have a will, but mm-hmm. if she'd had a will, mm-hmm. that would have controlled this retirement account. And right. who would have thought, because originally she had beneficiaries on the retirement
yeah.
account,
mm-hmm.
who would have thought that it would have transitioned, right? And then there wouldn't be a beneficiary.
Right in the middle. That's an unusual circumstance. Right?
It is. I had a situation like that back in Syracuse where the gentleman had $1 million. This is back when the estate tax was $1 million.
Right.
He had a life insurance policy, and whenever he passed away, the company could not find the paperwork. Even though they had the piece of paper that showed the beneficiaries, the company couldn't find it.
That's unfortunate, too. And we have another caller. We have Jean from Mechanicville.
Good morning, Jean.
Hi, good morning. I have a question. We have not done a will. We're almost, we're 67 and 68. We have not done a will or a trust yet, and I know we should.
Mm-hmm.
But we have three children, and two of them don't even speak to us. My husband wants to split everything three ways,
mm-hmm.
and I have doubts. But also, I wanted to leave something for my niece.
Mm-hmm.
My husband's totally against that, but how can I do things, you know? How can I do it? How can I leave my niece something? And I think my one child should get more than the other two because she's been around.
Well, I mean, there's a couple ways you could do it. And so first of all, let's start out by the fact that you and your husband each have your own will, and you can have different beneficiaries in your will than your husband has in his will.
Okay,
so you could each do that. But then you could also look at what assets you have. So if you have something that's like a savings account or a CD that's in your name separately, mm-hmm. you could put a beneficiary on that, and that's how you can make sure that would go to, you know, your niece or your child, whoever you want it to go to.
Okay.
And that would be separate. Because remember, if you do separate wills, but if you die first and everything goes to your husband, then whatever you named in your will isn't going to happen, right? So if you want to make sure that it does go to your niece or your other child, it's better to have a separate account that goes to them directly.
Okay. Now, as far as the healthcare proxy, now a healthcare proxy, and I'm not talking about myself, I'm talking about somebody else who we've been in charge with, but we're just close friends, but he trusts us. And now his family's involved, two daughters who live out of state and three daughters that live out of state. And now they want to change everything.
Of course they do.
But no.
That's right.
Well, I mean, he's not competent right now.
Mm-hmm.
But can he change it without... I mean, with being like that?
If he's incapacitated, he cannot do new documents.
Well, he's in and out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes it hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's difficult. I mean, there could be a dispute between you and the daughters as to whether he had capacity when he signed the document. Mm-hmm. And if it gets down to a dispute like that, you need to look at the medical records or get a doctor to say whether he had capacity.
Yeah,
so that's what I would do, is to look at the doctor and see, you know, what state he's in.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Okay. You're welcome. Have a thank great you. Weekend.
Yep, bye.
You know, that's a tough call.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard when there's kind of competing interests, and we see that all the time. I'm kind of in a guardianship case right now where their grandma had made one power of attorney, and then she didn't want her daughter to be the power of attorney anymore, so now it went to the granddaughter. The granddaughter did the power of attorney, and then mom took grandma back and had it revoked. And I mean, I feel awful. Like, grandma's kind of a pawn in this, right?
Yeah, she is, yeah. Obviously.
Right. But so when in that case where there's competing documents like that, we're going to do a guardianship. That's the only way to settle this for sure, is to have a court decide who should be in charge of her.
So what if someone changed her power of attorney, like grandma,
mm-hmm.
and then she doesn't have capacity to change it back?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, that's the thing. So you're going to have to do a guardianship.
Right.
And even an uncontested guardianship is very, very expensive.
It's expensive, right. But that's the only way you can determine whether there was capacity when she signed her documents, and then who's the best person to take care of her.
And that's the hard thing, too. It's like, who's the best person to take care of her? Because everybody's going to stand up and beat right. their chest and say, I was always there. I'm the person that did everything for them.
I know, and it's really hard, and I always feel bad for the person, the and grandma in this case. Uh-huh. You know, where there's different family members vying for her, you know, basically. And it's, you know, tough, and it's hard, but the court has to ultimately make that decision. Yeah.
And that's their job.
That's right.
That's that, you know, but it's difficult. So we're going to be back next week at same time, same station.
That's
so
right.
If you guys have questions during the week, you can call our office or you can wait and call us on next Saturday. So we have lots of callers.
That's right. And look on our website and look at the May seminars coming up. If you missed our April seminars, you're welcome to come to our May seminars and learn information.
Yeah, and they're very low-key. It's definitely something that's fun to go to. We try not to make it as depressing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Especially Wills versus Trust isn't really depressing.
That's
the other
ones
are a little
depressing.
Bit more depressing.
Well, that's right. And if you're depressed, we have chocolate chip cookies at the seminar. So.
Yes, definitely. Cookies and coffee.
That's right.
So, and we're trying to just, like, keep talking. Josh keeps telling us we need to wipe round this up, so we keep talking until the music comes on, right?
That's right. It's hard to time it sometimes.
And there we go.
That's
so you guys have a great weekend.
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you'd like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581, the Saratoga office at 518-581-8131, or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.